At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is the Illini guy, Mike Kegley. We are here with Brad Sturdy, Kedrick Prince. We are going to talk about the victory tonight as the Illini move into the Elite Eight after defeating the Iowa State Cyclones. We will be right back after these messages.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly two-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in six states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Are you being audited or investigated? Has the IRS sent you a letter demanding payment? You may not owe what they claim. Make this free call to the Tax Doctor now. Let them negotiate with the IRS on your behalf.
800-485-8801. 800-485-8801. That's 800-485-8801.
Welcome to the Eye on the Illini Elite Eight edition. This is Mike Kegley here with Brad Sturdy, Kedrick Prince. The Illini win 72-69. Brad, thoughts?
Man, it was a game of toughness. You know, we talked about Illinois' offense all week and going into this game, but it was their defense. Their defense was fantastic. This is the defensive team we thought they could be at the beginning of the year. And the interesting thing about it was I thought the defense was fantastic until the officials changed the way they were calling, and they started calling Illinois for a lot of off the ball ticky-tack fouls. Terrence Shannon gets some foul trouble. They became less aggressive on defense, and it really, I thought that slowed the defense down, but at the end they stepped up again, did a good job. Now, Iowa State, did they miss some easy shots around the rim? Yeah, I think they were like 12 of 27 at the rim or something like that, but this is pretty wild. This was a great defensive effort by Illinois overcoming what I thought Illinois got a rough whistle in the second half. And terrible free throw shooting from the Illini.
Kid?
Well, I really tried, Mike and Brad and all the thousands of people listening to our podcast. We love you and appreciate it. I try to come in here with the mindset of not criticizing the officials. I try. I mean, I even prayed to my own self tonight. I just don't understand how they are part of the game. I thought the most atrocious call I've seen all season, and I've watched every game, that charging foul that they call, or the blocking foul on Coleman Hawkins, he should be embarrassed. He just really should be. Because it was frustrating as a columnist to watch, a media person, fans to watch. I don't want to see that. I want the best players to play, and I want to see them play the game. And I give a lot of credit to Iowa State prior to the game. I just think they're bunch. I'm sorry. Well, I don't want to use the word. I was not impressed with them tonight. I just really wasn't. And, you know, take the win. Brad Underwood's right. You win. You survive. You move on. You have a chance to play in the Elite Eight. Everybody's already counting you out. I don't care. UConn's not undefeated. So, to me, Brad's right. They had a tough whistle second half. And I know Terrence Shannon put up some great numbers. And Marcus Domas did a wonderful job of handling the press. But my MVP tonight was number 33, Coleman Hawkins. That dude did a lot of things. He relieved a lot of pressure. He made some good passes. I thought tonight he played like a seasoned veteran.
I thought the big three in the first half, And then the steal for the dunk in the second half were two pivotal plays that Coleman Hawkins made. Obviously, they survived the time without Terrence Shannon. Brad, you got any idea what happened on free throws? 15 for 29. Is that just they're not used to the facility they're in?
No, because they shot it. They played. Think about where they played this year. They played in Minnesota at the NBA arena. They played at Madison Square Garden. Ohio State is a massive arena, just like an NBA arena. It makes I don't know. It makes no sense why they couldn't make free throws. It's just I think sometimes they got a little bit excited, had too much adrenaline. Then their legs were shot for a little bit because I think they had so much energy to start this game that then they had that, you know how you have that second wind when you struggle a little bit. And I think that's when they shot free throws. Now, some of it is because Dane shot free throws. And that's always an adventure. Ty missed a couple. It wasn't like they were missing him badly either. They were right there. Terrence missed a lot of free throws. I mean, I'll tell you what, Terrence Shannon is an 80% free throw shooter.
Back of the rim.
And he was just, it was just too much. But I think sometimes when he's making threes, though, he's got that good rhythm, and then he's going to miss some free throws a little bit long, right? Luckily, DeMas did make his free throws. Goody made his free throws, which was really important, I thought. You know, you mentioned MVP was Coleman Hawkins, kid. I agree. My second guy outside Shannon, the role player, was Luke Goody. Because not only did Luke Goody make a couple of big shots, I thought Luke Goody actually played defense. He had a steal. Yep. He finished with 8 points, made both free throws, had two offensive rebounds too, no turnovers. It played 23 minutes. I thought he was solid,
He was solid, yes.
And that's what you want a guy off the bench, by the way, Justin Harmon, did you guys realize he played 27 minutes?
What?
He played 27 minutes tonight just because I guess Shannon's foul trouble limited his minutes, but I still didn't know he had 27 minutes. It didn't seem like he was out there that much.
You needed to have Connor, who writes for us, sitting next to you because I heard it a lot. especially after the wide open three that got missed. Did I hear it a lot? Yes.
He made a 3-pointer in 2 years, I don't think.
it's January, Ken. I don't think he's made one since January. I'm not even kidding. That's not even a joke. Illinois did turn it over 12 times, but in 67 possessions, that's a pretty good ratio against that team. Marcus DeMas had 4 turnovers, but they put the ball in his hands a lot. Terrence had 3. Those guys had the ball a ton. I thought the turnovers that were bad were really the ones by Dane, because they were just almost inexplicable. You make a play, you get a steal, and then you try and go behind the back. What are we doing? And then the outlet to Terrence, and then the other one was just another bizarre one where he had one. So overall, I thought they did a pretty good job handling the pressure. There, Coleman Hawkins, we've talked about him having silly turnovers. Coleman Hawkins, 12.6 rebounds, 3 assists, no turnovers, 2 steals. I mean, I just don't know what else you can, DeMas only had 7 points on 2 of 11, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Illinois does a really good, a job here of, Iowa State usually gets 20 plus points off of turnovers on average. They got 7 points off of turnovers in this one. That's about as good as you can hope for. Illinois wins the rebounding battle. Although they lose second chance points totals, they really did a pretty good job there.
I have to give kudos to Coach Underwood, because what I don't understand, people are probably going to laugh driving off the road. Either the coaches in the Big 12 are not that good or they don't scout. Because what Brad Underwood did on 4 days or 5 days worth of scout was to understand you throw the ball weak side and you can't panic. You get 5 seconds. Actually, you get more than that. You dribble 5, you pick it up, and you can pass the basketball. Marcus DeMas, those 4 turnovers to me, they like to turn people over 15, 16 times a game. I'm okay, Brad. You're 100% right. When you held the ball as much as he did, I think he was great at doing it. But going back to the coaching part, they relieved pressure with Hawk, which was great because he was tall enough to see over the top. The pass he made to Terrence Shannon, the pass he made to him underneath the basket, that was coaching. For people who are critical about Underwood, these are things with his staff, whether it's him or his staff, they out-executed. TJ and Iowa State. They really did. They knew what they were coming, what they were doing, and they didn't allow them to do a lot of the blitzing on the dribble handoffs. They still didn't get, you know, to take Terrence Shannon away. The free throws, Mark, you know, I didn't get the answer to that. It's one game, man, because this team shoots 74% of the season. Guarantee it next, you know, when they play Saturday, whatever the outcome is, you know, that won't happen. They won't shoot 50%, whatever it was. And for people who don't think Illinois has a chance, I know I'm blind. I'm 97 years old, but I could have swore I thought Alabama beat you North Carolina tonight. So don't tell me it's not possible in the NCAA tournament.
Anything's possible. I do think the other good thing is I don't think Domask had what I would call bad game, but every shot he took was heavily contested. He was 2 for 11, and I just don't see him going 2 for 11 another game. Terrence Shannon's gonna, apparently he gets 29 points no matter, or more, no matter what.
Well, that's why he knew he was only supposed to score 29. That's why he missed all those free throws.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He didn't want to get that postseason record.
If he made all those free throws, he'd add 34.
Yeah, no,
I doing that.
Yeah, you didn't want to break D's record. So there you have it. But I do think, or whoever's got the record for the NCAA for the Illini. But I do think that, yeah, and I do think that the hustle factor was there as well. You know, Guerriere had some hustle rebounds. Ty Rogers did. Hawkins did. Damas, Shannon. I mean, almost everybody was involved in that. And I thought that was really important for this team as well, that they were flying to the ball. They only had a rebounding advantage of about 4 by the end of the game. But I thought that was a big piece of this, because Iowa State, for a lot of time, they would go down and only get one shot.
Well, yeah,
I'm gonna tell you,
that's go ahead, kid.
I'm gonna tell you, to me, the play of the game where Iowa State choked was that missed layup.
I agree.
That was huge. That was a huge turning point in the game. That's got to be 2 points, no matter how you look at it. You got to convert that. But I've always talked about this, and people think that it's crazy. Sometimes you have to have luck. What are the chances of a guy missing a layup like that? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you have guys that made plays at the right time, you know. People were really critical of Luke. You know, Brad mentioned earlier about his defense. He played good defense. He was solid. This team believes. And you know what? For the people out there who think Illinois can't win without Terrence Shannon, he sat for a long time, and they never lost the lead. They never lost the lead the entire time. So, you know, kudos to them and to the staff. And it's about winning and survive. I don't want to hear about numbers and the free throws. You know what? Brad Underwood just mentioned in the press conference, being sarcastic, he thinks they missed 102 free throws tonight. I can assure you that that won't happen. And Mike, you mentioned, you know, Marcus Domask being 2 for 11. You know, you saw that, you know, early in the Big Ten tournament, and he had a good bounce back. UConn is great, but they don't play defense, I don't think, the way Iowa State allegedly does.
Well, they don't foul every possession like Iowa State does. I'm not going to lie, that they foul every possession.
Well, and they're geniuses, though. They're taught well, because it's right out of the 80s. We talked about this earlier in the season. But if you watch the replays, play after play, guys are getting hipped, and they go undercut people. Ty Rogers had one where he got hipped and fell down, and then the same thing happened to Coleman, and they called the foul on the guy who hit Coleman. So that was to the Illini benefit, because you'd rather have Coleman shooting free throws than Ty. But I mean, that was a very well-coached Iowa State team, except for TJ's decision that he has to wear shirts that are two sizes too small. At some point, do we think he's going to grow out of that from an emotional standpoint, or is he going to be 65 wearing a medium shirt when he really should be in an extra large?
Well, you know, yeah, you go with the you know, the small women's t-shirt, it does make you look muscular, I guess. That's one way to look at it.
I mean, I don't look muscular in one, Brad, but I look something.
I just saw a stat on TV where they've held every opponent. Everybody was critical of the defense, and I think they've stepped it up in the tournament. They've held every opponent, and it's only been 3 under 70 points. So, I mean, they've stepped up their defense as well. I mean, they made it uncomfortable for Iowa State. I mean, it wasn't easy for them. Sure, they got going the second half, and every team's going to make a run, you know. And, you know, for people out there who think, you know, Illinois had a cakewalk, okay, they beat the number 2 seed right now. So just keep winning. I mean, this
that was
is a great
and, and remember, Ked, going into the tournament, everybody was complaining because Iowa State was a one seed, and they should have gotten that fourth one seed. Remember, everybody was complaining because the way they beat Houston. Yep. Can I just say? Can I say this? And I want to crow a little bit.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
On the Illini Guys message board, people were talking about how Illinois was going to get, teams like this could just dominate Illinois. And I said, Illinois has the ultimate weapon against this blitzing defense, and it's having a five-man like Coleman Hawkins, who you can short roll, you can kick it to out of the, against the traps, and he can make reads and passes. I was right. I just want to say I was right. So that's all.
Oh, of course. And I think we're both right, because our scouting report was to the T. Take care of the basketball and rebounding. And that's why you guys should subscribe to Illini Guys. You got two coaches who knows everything.
and that's what we talked about, Ked. You had your scouting report. I put up mine where, looking for those skip passes, looking for the, getting ball reversal from the other side, throwing out of that double team, cutters down the middle. I thought the one thing they didn't do as well as they should have were cutters. They didn't break quickly enough.
No, they didn't.
They stayed too long in the dunker spot when they get the double team. There was just little, but that's little things. They were put in the right position. The short roll was very effective.
With the one he threw to Coleman through the Terrence just came in the game, who made that three. That's one of the things we talked about on our message board. And I mean, luckily Terrence made the three. He had stopped for 7 or 8 minutes. But that's the stuff that I don't understand why other teams don't do that. It's kind of common sense. If you're not going to flash anybody, to the weak side, then that's going to be wide open. I mean, I think Terrence Shannon was wide open. I think Lou Goody was there. Both of those guys had time to shoot the ball. I think teams get sped up so much, and you're right. I mean, I don't want to call them hacks, but a lot of people will call them hacks. Like, they do foul an awful lot, and I don't think that's great defense. That's what I was going to say earlier when I bit my tongue. I don't think that's good defense, and I think the way they have people set up to where, because they know you chase screens, they have a guy there that they know you're going to run into to get those charges. That's tough. That was tough for everybody, not just Terrence. Marcus Domas got a couple. Coleman got one. Drayvon Gibbs-Lahorn got one. That was just tough. But it's taught. They're out of it. But that's not a good recipe for success for me, I don't think.
Yeah, and so I'm going to throw one comment out there, and we can talk about it after the break. But this is where the Brad Underwood, if you get your team playing well every year and you get into the tournament every year, you get a chance to go on a run. And we saw that today, because the only way you go to the Elite Eight is making it to the Sweet 16. And the only way you make it to the Final Four is if you get to the Elite Eight. And so Illinois is now in that situation where each year they have that opportunity to make the big run. And we will be right back after these messages.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info and recruiting, IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams. And we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
Hi, I'm Ronnie Deutsch, and if you or your business owe money to the IRS, I've got great news for you. Tax laws have changed. Billions of dollars are earmarked for IRS Fresh Start programs, and if you qualify, you can literally save tens of thousands of dollars. Listen, I know what you're going through. Call me if you want to speak with a tax attorney or tax professional for free.
800-523-6376. That's 800-523-6376.
And as promised, we are back from commercial break. Brad Sturdy, Kedrick Prince, me, Mike Kegley, talking a little bit about the win tonight. Brad, any thing that we didn't talk about the game that you thought was stood out to you in terms of this performance? It's not very often in the recent past that the Illini make it to a Sweet 16 game, let alone push through to make it to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, I thought the toughness of Illinois. By the way, we have to go back to earlier when we said Justin Harmon played that many minutes. He only played 5 minutes. I was like, that's why it's had me thrown for a loop. The stats
well, it did
were
seem
jacked
different.
Up. The stats were jacked up on the NCAA website. So, but yeah, he only played 5 minutes. I was like, I did not see him out there that long. But yeah, no, I really think the toughness of Illinois is something that we didn't really talk about. Like, I mean, you know, battling through adversity. Terrence Shannon only playing 22 minutes due to foul trouble. How about his 55% usage in this game, though? He in 29 points, 22 minutes. Insane. That's insane. I've never seen anything like that. Got Marcus Damask playing all but like 28 seconds or something like that, playing 40 minutes basically for this game. The toughness, Coleman Hawkins battling in the paint. I thought we saw more there, more battled there. I thought, but how about the play? We haven't talked about this. The steal. Remember, okay, Illinois up. Terrence gets the steal and goes to the dunk. Have you seen what happened after he dunked it?
Yes.
Did you watch that? Coleman Hawkins goes diving. He tips the ball. He almost had another steal. He goes sliding out of bounds. I gave him 5-on-4. But that was one of the funniest things I've seen. It's like, what is going on? And then, of course, Dane fouls the guy in the three, which you're thinking, oh, my gosh, it was two plays. You're just like, what are we doing? But, yeah. Pretty wild stuff. But yeah, I thought the toughness of Illinois is something we haven't talked about enough. They're known as like this glitzy offensive team, but they showed the battle-tested hardness, toughness, the battle against a extremely physical Iowa State team.
I do too, but I think they buckled up on defense. I think they took pride in defense. Coach Underwood talked tonight about everybody was panicking about Terrence Shannon having foul trouble on offense. Brad was worried about his defense. He mentioned the fact that tonight in the post-game press conference that he wishes people would really give him credit for how well he does defensively because he's constantly guarding the best player all the time. And, you know, and trash talking is a part of the game, and I think it's great. I know a lot of the fans got upset tonight because he was chirping at the Iowa State bench, but they were chirping back at him. You know, but from what I understand, his trash talking is all in clean fun. You know, I know there's some other ones out there that were kind of, you know, aggressive with him, but I think that's good motivation because when I see him sometimes, some of the same people, they're smiling or some of the coaches will make comments and then they'll hit him on the, you know, one they'll tap him on the behind. So I like the competitive part in this group. Marcus Domas, you know, I know all the players are tired of answering this question, but he made a comment. Yes, we know UConn's good, but so are we. They have to guard us as well. And that's not going to be easy as well. So I just think tonight, like, you know, Terrence Smith, I don't know how many free throws. And they left tons of points on the table. It could have been a 15, 20-point lead at halftime if they make their free throws.
Yeah, I think this – thankfully, it's not a what-could-have-been situation where we muse on this for the next 20 years. But so it was nice that they – somehow find a way to win when they only shoot 15 to 29 from the free throw line. It was also a game that I think you looked at this team and they didn't want to lose. And when Coleman Hawkins was interviewed after the game, he said, you know, you want to enjoy it, but you also know you have work to do ahead. I think that's a mature way of approaching it. Now they have to face the number one team, you know, in the bracket, the number one team in the country, the number one of number ones, at least until the final decision is made. Are they playing with house money now where they come into this final game potentially and they don't have to worry about much because the pressure's all on UConn to win this one?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that all the pressure's on UConn in this game. Illinois can play with free and easy. But I honestly don't think they felt any pressure in the Iowa State game either, because I feel like they feel like they got to the Sweet 16. I think there was pressure in those first two games. But I just don't – I think they are playing I hate to use the – it is house money. But I don't think they look at it like this. They are – and I just – I will tell you that I just got done texting with some of the players and coaches just now. And I'm telling you, they are locked in on three more wins. I mean, they are locked in on winning a national championship. They're not going to be – I'm not saying they're not going to be – they'll look back and be satisfied on this season whenever it ends. if it's 29-9 losing to UConn after UConn wins another title, or if it's 32-8 and winning, they're going to be satisfied. But the goal is to win on Saturday, and they feel like they can win literally against UConn, even if nobody else does. So, yes, it's house money as for a fan base that has been starved, but I'm telling you, these guys really feel like they can win this game.
They've done a lot of great things, just bringing back the excitement and the buzz within Illinois basketball. Not that it's left, because it hasn't, but it's really good to see how excited the fans are with this, because it's been a long time. And, you know, this team is fun to watch too. You know, I've always said this whole season, you know, they can play with anybody, you know, and the one guy that we talk about is Terrence Shannon. And I'll say the same thing. UConn doesn't have anybody that can guard him. And I can, you know, there's just not. And I think he'll have more scoring opportunities, you know, because he didn't get a lot of fast break points tonight. I would say credit for that. They did take some of that away from him, but he was still able to get his points and still able to help lead Illinois to a win. I know Coach Underwood, as he mentioned earlier, I mean, well, after his press conference, they are dialed in, Brad. He came to Illinois to win a national title, and that's still his goal, and it's within reach right now. I mean, you're two games away, and, you know, people who have social media accounts, if you have a Twitter account, I'm like calling it X. I mean, Terrence Shannon, that was the first thing he posted, three more games.
Yep.
You know, because it's there for them. It's there, and it's realistic, and, you know, and it's going to be another fun day, couple of days. I think right now it's kind of cool with the fun trash talking of other teams other than Big Ten schools. Iowa State was fun this week, and UConn will be fun, and I've already kind of looked at some of them. And for the Illinois fans who are panicking, these teams like Iowa State and UConn, they respect Illinois. They've seen Illinois play. They know those teams are good too, but they know Illinois is not going to be a cakewalk. Everybody's good at this stage of the tournament.
Yeah, I think this –
Follow up that you mentioned Brad Underwood came here to win a national title. So I'm sitting with him. This is a funny story. I'm sitting with him we're in a gym in Atlanta. I don't know, somewhere outside of Atlanta. I don't even know where we were. We're in the middle of nowhere at some high school gym, and we're watching a kid play. And he said, yeah, I just don't think this kid is good enough. He said, you know, our goal, you know, we want to get to this level, blah, blah, blah. And I said, Brad, I'm getting old, man. You need to win us a national championship. He said, well, I didn't. That's why I came here. I didn't come here to just, you know, try and win 15 or 20 games. I mean, our goal is to win a national championship, and that's why I'm here. So here you go. That's what he's always been about, and that's what he feels like he can do in this Illinois program.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, really important, because as we talked about in the break, you know, I pulled emotional hamstrings during the game because Illinois hadn't been in a game with an Elite Eight on the, you know, as a reward since 2005. This was a degree of pressure that Illini fans haven't had to field before. You can only imagine the players, but when you're the best team in the Big Ten, you know, over the last 5 years, I think Purdue fans get mad, because if you calculate that on 4 years or 6 years, they're the best team in the Big Ten. But hey, you know, you pick the years. But the bottom line is Illinois is getting to the tournament every year, and they got that opportunity to put those wins together for a run just like this. And we can all think, because we've been around for a while, we knew how long it took, you know, guys, you know, to get those runs. And even think of Bill Self, you know, when he had his Bucknell loss and then another loss the next year. You look at even Jay Wright when he took over, you know, he had some success at Villanova, then went bad for a series of years in the NCAA. But he was in the NCAA, and as time went and he built the right team, he had, you know, wins two national titles, and Underwood's doing this to where Illinois is going to be relevant every year. And if you're in there, eventually you're going to get your shot at the big run in the NCAA.
Yeah, I think you're right. Just keep you got to keep punching, keep getting your bids, keep getting your seeds, higher seeds, and you're going to get it. You know, we've said, I don't know how many times I've said it about coaches. They can't win in March until what happens, Mike?
They win in March.
Yes. And then they can win in March. So, and that's what, that's, it's just the reality of the thing, you know, and everybody wants to win and it's just part of it. But I would say this, that you have to, Illinois is in a situation where they're going to consistently be good. And that's really what you want. That's how programs get to the next level. That is the next level. You're consistently good. They talk about you second weekends over and over. And that's when you're ready to be a top program.
Hey, let me ask you guys real quick. I mean, I'm in a big debate with a lot of people. What would you guys say was the shot of the night for Illinois? For me, it was the shot, the momentum game changer was Marcus Domask diving to the basket to get the end one. I thought that was the biggest shot of the night. There was a lot of Luke Goody had some, Tan Shannon had some, but I think Marcus's shot, because the guy, he only made two field goals, but to me, I thought that was the biggest shot of the night. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree with you, Ken. I thought Dane made the tip away there, and then Coleman gets the – they get the – I think it went to Coleman. He comes down. He hits Damask. He goes in. He gets the and one. I thought that was huge. Really, I don't think they got closer. They were just two-point game at that point. I don't think they got closer than three again after that. So, yeah, I think that was one of those key plays. I thought, you know, obviously then the Shannon steal basically was the dagger. It should have iced it, although Dane tried to give him a chance. But the end with the 3-point foul. But Dane was like, nah, come on, guys. Let me give you a chance. I feel bad. So, no. But yeah, I agree with the kid.
Yeah, I think there were several moments in the game, though, where there were key shots. And I go back to the three that Coleman took in the first half that they really needed. You know, there were several plays along the way where guys kept coming up big. And let's face it, earlier in the year, if that got down to a 2-point lead, you know, we would be looking as fans saying, are they going to collapse like Michigan State? Or, like they almost did with Nebraska, like Penn State. There was just different times that they, and I think that's why I look at these whole seasons as a journey, and nobody likes to lose a game. But don't you think some of those losses help build this team into what they are now, so that they understood what's at risk and they learned the hard way? And I thought tonight they stepped, there was multiple times that Iowa State got to 4 points and Illinois pushed back to get an 8 or 9 point lead. You take one of those times and they don't do that, and this whole game is different.
Yeah, I think that's it. That's what it's all about, though, isn't it? It's like finding a way. You have to find a way to make a play in a key spot. If you can't do that, you're probably not going to win. And they did. They consistently found the play, made the play, whether it was a shot, a tip, a steal, an offensive rebound. Luke Goody with the offensive rebounds, big play, hit the free throws. Those are winning plays. They made enough winning plays to get the win. And they made more, let's be honest, they made more winning plays than Iowa State did. And it's just that simple. That's the difference in the game. It wasn't some crazy thing where Illinois shot great threes or made this or whatever. They just made more winning plays when it came to down to that.
Mike, you asked about if they learned anything. I'm going to go back to Robin, to Marcus Domask. I think back to that Penn State game when I really think they took Marcus Domask out of the game the way they pressure him. I think he learned tonight. I think for a guy, let's put this in perspective. If you played basketball before, he was a four-man at Southern Illinois, and he is now – I mean, they introduced Ty Rogers as a point guard, but he is the point guard on the Illinois basketball team, and this guy had a triple-double already. I mean, just so – I think he's learned. I mean, he's just a huge piece. I expect a really big outing from him next time, and – the one thing I was really glad to hear finally was that prior to the game, Iowa State never wanted to give Illinois credit for the athleticism and the size and length. Tonight, he did. I don't think people really understand how hard it is to play against Illinois because they're all tall and long. it's kind of funny when you see Draymond Green's Longhorn go in the game. He looks like mini me, you know. He's small compared to anybody else. He really is, because everybody else is so big and they're all universal. I mean, Luke Goody is easily 6'7". So they're just, and they make it tough for people.
Yeah, I think that's right. And Illinois looks like a big team now. I mean, they always looked like a big team for a few years because Kofi was so big that he could look like a team all by himself. But now all of a sudden it goes across the board. You put that team together, it's pretty impressive. Brad, any final thoughts here before we close out this celebratory one? My final thought is it's kind of exciting, but Illinois has an opportunity. Obviously, three more wins would put them up to 32, would be the second most wins in the history of the Illini basketball program, and also put them in a national title. But no matter what happens, we're back to the era of single-digit losses. And to me, it's kind of nice that, you know, no matter what happens, they're not going to have double-digit losses, which is great.
Yeah, you know, it's very true. I just think this program now, you're talked about. You matter. You're going to be the portal. You can basically kind of choose guys. It's going to help with boosters and donors saying that, because it's paying off as they go in the portal and the NIL and so forth. It's just so many good things out of winning, getting to the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. Everybody's talking about it. Terrence Shannon has everybody excited. You know, everybody wants to, you know, Illinois can go in the portal and say, you want to be the next Terrence Shannon. Of course, you know, you can't find another guy who's Terrence Shannon, but you could get somebody who might, you know, resemble him maybe. You want to be the next Coleman Hawkins? You want to be Marcus Damask and play some booty ball? What do you want? They can sell so much, and I think it's really cool what's happened here, and it's pretty clear they're back. You know, I mean, they are back. This program is on strong footing, and they're going to be a program that's going to be here for a while.
You can't put a price tag on the marketing what's happening right now. Here's an example. The Big Ten Network is on, and for 30 minutes, it is strictly the University of Illinois. Not who else. Well, I should say 29 minutes, because they talked about the women who won tonight, and they talked about some of the other Big Ten games. But it is strictly the University of Illinois. From a recruiting standpoint, which I just eat and breathe and love, you're right. You know, Brad, you know that Coach Unwin has told the both of us and the staff that, you know what, this was last year. They're to a point to where they can pick and choose and say, hey, you know what, this isn't a good fit for us. We think this kid can come here. You got some of the high-profile players in the country who want to play here. And you heard Coach Underwood say, everybody, if you listen to the press conferences, he's working on recruiting right now. And another comment that I'm really happy to see is all the former players, guys I've not heard from and seen. I didn't know they even had Twitter accounts, coming out of the woodworks supporting this team. It is the coolest thing ever, because, you know, a lot of the guys have not been around the program and you've not seen them, but it is really nice to see, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. It's really, really nice to see TikTok. It's just good to see these kids come out and show support. One player had his poster put up when he played, you know, and he put it on Twitter, how proud he is. And I know if there's one guy who's really proud is Deion Thomas. I mean, you talk about a guy that's just who's ecstatic and, you know, who went through hell when he was playing at Illinois. He's really happy for the guy. So this is good all around. I mean, like I said to you, you can't put a price tag on what this does for the program.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to cap off this episode. We definitely are very, very excited about the opportunity. They're going to go play UConn, and yeah, you know, America's expecting UConn to win. America expects a lot of things in the NCAA tournament that don't happen, and maybe the Illini can be the next Cinderella that comes out. We saw North Carolina fall tonight, and UConn is a mountain to climb. There is no doubt they're the defending champions. They are ranked number one in the country. But the Fighting Illini walk in there with the thoughts that they are going to win, and I don't doubt that they will not They will not go down easy. So I think it's going to be awesome to see
Mike,
this game.
What will be the score when that game starts?
Be 0-0 when they start it, regardless
of
who the
favorite
is. So
none of the crap that's happened before matters.
Exactly.
It's still 0-0. Okay, just making sure because, man, I think some people like, you know, look at point spreads, look at how they won games. It's 0-0. Let's man up and let's go. I'm ready. Let's play right now.
Well, it's a little late, Brad. I think you're – we don't want you to go without your beauty sleep that long. But I do – I do think this is going to be an exciting game. Of course, we'll be there and covering it with you. So we will be right back after these commercials.
Make sure you subscribe to the full family of Illini Guys podcast, starting with our signature Eye on the Illini series, which discusses recent Illini events. Sturdy for 30 is where veteran Illini insider and analyst Brad Sturdy talks with experts and people in the know. And Ked's Recruiting Roundup, where IlliniGuys.com director of recruiting Kedrick Prince talks with players, parents, and coaches about the next wave of Illini student athletes. Stay in the know with Illini Guys podcast. Find them wherever you download your podcasts.
If I was your mother and you had a drug problem, I'd grab you by the ear and make you call and get help. You can be in treatment tomorrow and start to get clean in 7 days. Follow mom's advice and call the Detox and Treatment Helpline now. Write this number down.
800-980-1761. 800-980-1761. 800-980-1761. That's 800-980-1761.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Eye on the Illini. Please share with your Illini fan friends. We would love that. Give us a 5-star review if you can. That would be fantastic as well. We will be back with post-game comments after the UConn game. It's a tough one, but as Brad said, score starts at 0-0, and that gives the Illini the opportunity to pull the upset of the decade, and we are going to be pulling for them as well. Until then, go Illini!